In this week's Parsha, Parshas Pinchas, we have the second half of the story of Pinchas. In last week's Parsha, we heard how Zimri, who was the Nasi from Shevet Shimon, took Cosby, a Midianite princess, in an immoral way. And Pinchas, who was a son of Elazar, who was a son of Aaron HaKohen, took a spear and he pierced both of them and he killed them both. That's what happened in last week's Parsha. And in this week's Parsha, we're going to see that he's going to get his reward. And he's introduced as Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, because when the Shvatim, when they saw his act, they started to speak badly about him. And they said, "Did you see ben Puti zeh?" Now, Elazar, Pinchas comes from, he's the grandson of Yisrei. That means that his father had married one of the children of Yisrei, one of the daughters of Yisrei. So when they're looking at Pinchas, they say, this is a person, this person who thinks he can kill a Nasi from Shevet Shimon. Who is he anyways? He's a grandson of Yisrei. Yisrei, as we know, is a convert. He's a ger. And he used to fatten calves to serve to the idols, to Avodah Zarah. Now he's coming and he's going to be our moral policeman. And so the pasuk comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, and he's made it on him, and he's saying he's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. He is not ben Puti. He's not coming from the side that comes from Yisrei when he was still an Oved Avodah Zarah, but he's coming from the side of being ben Aaron HaKohen. Because if they were right, those who were talking, meaning if the reason for Pinchas's action was that the blood of Ovdei Avodah Zarah flowed through him, that he was coming from a place that was not purely intended, then he deserved to die as a murderer. He murdered two people. Now the two people, to be sure, who died deserved to be killed, but he is still a murderer, because the only reason he had any right to kill them is because there is a halacha that says habaya laramis, one who publicly takes a non-Jew to marry, kana'im poigimbay, a kana'i can come and kill him. But the question is, what is a kana'i? Who qualifies as a kana'i? If we'd have to translate the word kana'i, we're going to translate it as zealot. But when a person is zealous, when a person shows this midah of kana'os, it has to be 1,000% clear that it's coming from the right place, that it's coming with the right intentions. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to come and stand witness for him and say that all his actions were coming from being a grandson of Aaron. And we know about Aaron, he was an Oyev Shalom, Veroidev Shalom. Aaron was a person who loved peace, who ran after peace, who pursued peace. And his actions are not coming from a place of wanting to see the action or having any murderous intent. His place, his intentions was totally peaceful. All of his actions were coming from being a descendant of Aaron HaKohen. Kana'os is a very dangerous thing, because when a person acts out of kana'os, even if the action in itself is good, like here, because they did deserve to die, the intentions have to be entirely pure, and if they're not, then the whole act is wrong. We have a king, Sefer Malachim, whose name was Yehu. He was a great tzaddik. He was a very righteous man, and he killed out the whole house of Ahav HaRasha. Ahav was one of our most wicked kings. And this Yehu came, and he killed out the whole house of Ahav, and he destroyed the Koyanei HaBaal, which means the priests that were serving Avodah Zarah. But he made one mistake. He didn't destroy the calves of Yerovam. The first of the kings, we know that the house of David, of Shlomo, split into two. Shlomo's son Rehoboam became the king of two tribes, and then there was another king, an evil king, whose name was Yerovam, who was the leader of the 10 tribes. And one of the things that he did is he wanted to make sure that the Jews shouldn't go to the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash was clear that Rehoboam was the real king, and that Yehuda was the real Shevet that the kings should come from. So Yerovam put up two of his own calves that he created temples around. And when Yehu, many years later, killed out Ahav, which was a good thing, he didn't destroy the calves of Yerovam, meaning that there was still some connection to Avodah Zarah that was still flowing within him. And therefore, the story does not end well with Yehu, because he's charged with murder, because you're only allowed to kill out Ahav if you're doing it from pure zealousness because you're fighting the battle of Hashem. But if you were truly fighting the battle of Hashem, you had to get rid of the calves of Yeravam as well. Meaning, if you're fighting it because you hate Avodah Zarah, then you have to hate Avodah Zarah from beginning to end. When a person does an act of kana'us, speaks out against someone who's doing something wrong, or comes down hard on an individual for an act of immodesty or immorality, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan says he has to be extremely careful to be sure that, number one, his intentions are correct, but number two, that he doesn't carry himself any of the same sin. Meaning, if I'm speaking badly about somebody because I don't like the way that they're dressing and I think it's wrong, or I don't like an action that they've done, and I myself have done the same action, I have no right to open my mouth. And if I do so, if I speak Lashon Hara about somebody, or if I embarrass somebody because I think I'm doing this L'shem Shamayim, but I myself am carrying the same sin, then I'm going to be charged for embarrassing another Jew, for Lashon Hara, for Achilles, for whatever it is that I did, because I'm only allowed to do these things if my intention is entirely pure. When Rabbi Gamliel wanted to be Menaseach the Bracha of Elam al Shinim, we know that Shemoneh Esrei is really a misnomer. There's not really 18 brachas, there's 19 brachas, but it started off as 18 brachas, and then during the time of the rise of Christianity, they needed to add another bracha, which was V'lam al-Shinim, al-Zi-Sikva, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us to stand up against those who slander and who speak badly about us Jews, those who come from within us. Help wipe those out. And Rabbi Gamliel wanted this bracha written. He needed this bracha written, and he asked for help. And he said, is there anyone here who knows how to write this bracha? Can we find someone who is capable of writing a bracha, this bracha that we're going to have to say about the sinners in our midst? And it was Shmuel HaKatan who got up and wrote it. And Rav Chatzkel Abramsky asks, what was so hard about writing this bracha? Why did they have to search? Why couldn't anyone write it? And the answer is that Shmuel HaKatan, as we see from his name, he excelled in humility, but he is known for his memra, for what he said. We have a quoted in Pirkei Avos, "Binfal oivecha al tismach." We know that what the person says in Pirkei Avos pretty much defines his character, his midah, his personality. And what Shmuel HaKatan said in Pirkei Avos is, "Binfal oivecha," when your enemy falls, al tismach, don't be happy. Don't be gleeful about the defeat of someone you hate. And it's only a person like this, who lives a life of not wanting to see his enemies falter, who can write words against the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Because if he wasn't totally pure of any other intention but L'shem Shemayim, he had no right to ask for their downfall. If there was any risk that there would be any personal pleasure in seeing the Minim and the Malshinim falter, you're not allowed to write it. Kana'us is a very, very dangerous midah. It's a midah that won Pinchas a tremendous amount of schar. And we have this whole parsha about him. And the kana'im play an important role. But it's very, very, very dangerous. And a person has to be very, very careful of how he uses it. In the Sefer Mayan HaShavua, they quote Rav Chaim Brisker. And Rav Chaim Brisker says, so how do we know if my actions are L'shem Shemayim or not? Meaning, I see something that I do have to respond to. I do have to say something about. And I don't know if I should or if I shouldn't. Because it's so dangerous to get involved in this. So how can a person gauge if he's a kana'i L'shem Shemayim, or he's stam looking for a fight, or he's looking for something to speak about or to tumult about? And the moshul that Rav Chaim Brisker gave is that there's two types of creatures who wage wars against mice. One is a housewife, and one is a cat. But there's a very big difference. Housewives hate mice. They hate them with a passion. They wish they would not exist, and they would never have to come into contact with them. When a housewife sees a mouse, she wants to, or perhaps she does, actually faint. But cats? Cats are thrilled with mice. The cat is so happy to find a mice. He loves chasing them. And of course, he rejoices in catching them. The kana'us of Pinchas of Shmuel HaKatan is a kana'us of peace. They love peace, wish for peace, and wish that they would never have to see the boundaries of Tznius or Avodah Zarah being breached. Like the housewife, they'd be so much happier if evil never existed in the first place. But there are some who call themselves Kanaim, who rejoice in finding a cause to fight, a crusade to be part of, a banner to hold high. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is part of the picture, but he's only a part. Before we start to tumult, to discuss, to be indignant, to destroy with our words and our actions, we need to pause. Like our Parsha gives us a pause. It talks about the story of Pinchas, what happened, and then there's a pause before this week's Parsha. Because we need to pause if we're going to engage in any action, in any act of kanas. What are our intentions? Are we sure that we are L'Shem Shemaim? And again, the L'Shem Shemaim can't be 80% L'Shem Shemaim. It's got to be 100%. Are we sure that we are totally pure in our actions and our motivations? Or is this just a release of unhealthy emotions, of anger, of jealousy, of bad midos? Where is it coming from? Is it Ben Puti? Or is it Ben Aaron HaKoyen? The pause, the division of the parshias, is reminding us of the importance of taking the time to make very sure that we're doing the right thing. If there's even a tiny bit of Ben Puti, we should not, we may not act. And in almost every case, it's better to err on the side of caution.